But the day that it arrives will be too late. But the day that it arrives will be too late to do what we can do. We can do today.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Well, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, we do hope that you are well, and welcome to another fantastic episode on this silsila, Deeds of Destruction. And today as well, we have a very important topic of discussion that I think every single person out there has this issue with them. And we'll cover it in a few moments. But before that, remember the beautiful hadith, نِيَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِهِ. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So don't delay. Make those good intentions today. Make them right now that I'm watching, I'm listening to the silsila of Madani Channel for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That what I learn, I will try my best to act upon this and to share this information with others as well. This is very important. I hope your notebooks are out, your pens are out. You can jot down the important Madani pearls and refer to them at a later stage. You don't know, maybe somebody might need this advice and you can give to them, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, there are so many wonderful and beautiful blessings for the recitation of the Durood-e Pak or Salawat or salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to this wonderful hadith wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever recites durood or salat 100 times upon me, Allah azza wa jal writes between both of that person's eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy and free from the fire of hell. And Allah Azza wa Jal will keep this person with the shuhada, the martyrs, on the day of judgment. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. What a wonderful narration. If we want this privilege, if we want this opportunity of being with the martyrs on the day of judgment, of being free from nifaq or hypocrisy and free from the hellfire, this is one of the beautiful ways, as mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we should recite Durood-e Pak in abundance. And here it says 100 times a day. So let's recite together once. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it comes to a person's desires, wishes, hopes, many a times we create a circumstance or a mindset that we want certain things, but they are very difficult to achieve, to attain, to get those things. And many a times we want certain things because perhaps another person has it, a stranger has it, or a family member, a friend has it. And therefore we too want that. So regarding these high hopes or these longings that we have, these wishes that we have, they can be quite destructive. They can be quite disadvantaged to us if we have this. And listen to this beautiful narration, a parable in fact, as mentioned in the famous book called Uyunul Hikayat. On page 348, this is also published by Maktabatul Madina, which is the publications department and the bookshop of Dawat Islami. You can download this book for free from dawatislami.net. There was once a king of Basra, and he gave up his kingdom, the luxuries of his kingdom, and he became pious. But after some time, with the wasawis and with the evil whispers of shaitan, with the whispers of the nafsul ammara, that carnal self, the base desires, the ego, he ended up getting trapped back into his kingdom. He became the king once again of his kingdom. And this time, he went all out to make sure that his palace had the best luxuries, the best pleasures to offer. He had special guest rooms with wonderful carpeting, expensive furnitures and fittings. And he summoned his ministers. And whilst they are all enjoying the colorful attractions and entertainments and pleasures of this world, he tells them that, you know, you be here in my palace and enjoy all of these luxuries, these delicious meals and all these facilities and conveniences. Enjoy it with me. But I want you to also make a note of all of this, because I need palaces constructed like this for my sons as well. So as he's requesting them that, you know, try to make a note of all whatever luxuries I have here, because I want these palaces for my sons to be built at other places as well. Suddenly, a voice from the hidden screams out that, oh, the one who forgets death, the one who constructs beautiful buildings, leave your high hopes, because death has been recorded. Death has been recorded for people whether they laugh or they make others laugh. And it is also ready for those who have high hopes. Don't construct houses in which you don't have to live in permanently. And do ibadat, worship Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, perform spiritual exercises so that your sins would be forgiven. This unseen voice, this hidden voice, it shook the king up. It shook him up to such an extent that he turned towards his ministers and he asked them, did you also hear that? That voice, where did it come from? Who was that? Did you hear the message of that voice? They said, yes, your majesty, we heard about it. We heard it as well, but don't pay any attention. Ignore it. It's just, leave it. The king, this really affected him to such an extent that he says, and he made a dua, he said, O Allah Azza wa Jal, I make you and all the people present here as witnesses, that I turn towards you, and I feel ashamed of what I have done. I have wasted the resources, I have wasted the money on extravagance, on these luxuries. I have indulged in many sins. I am ashamed of this. I repent in your court, O Allah Azza wa Jal. O my Creator Azza wa Jal, if you want me to live for more days, then help me to be obedient to your commands. And if you are to take me away, then forgive my sins out of your mercy. In this way, the king remained occupied and busy in making dua to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, when suddenly he said, Wallahi, by Allah Azza wa Jal, al-maut, death. By Allah Azza wa Jal, death. And while saying these words, that king had passed away. The Judas of the time, the Islamic scholars of the time, they had said that after repenting and making sincere tawbah, the king passed away. My dear Islamic brothers, my dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, so many lessons in this parable for you and I. How many of us are constructing those, not just those palaces, but those, as they say in English, the castles in the air. We have these longings, we have these hopes, these desires, these wishes, and many of them are very difficult to attain. Many of us, we are caught up in the activities of this world, but we have truly forgotten. We have truly forgotten to prepare for the hereafter. And what is the first manzil, the first stage of the hereafter? The qabr, the grave. And as they say, death is the terminator of all pleasures. So whilst we are enjoying our life, whilst we are investing in this short-term life, this temporary life, suddenly we are gone. We need to think about this, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, that these distractions, these entertainments, these recreations, they are truly distractions for you and I. How often do we remember that we are going to leave any moment, any moment? What are we going to take with us? Am I investing in my qabr, my grave, to be comfortable for myself, that I get safety and security in the grave and the hereafter? Or are we heedless? Are we negligent that we don't perform our salah? And that too, if we perform, it's not the 5 daily salahs. How many of us are performing our salah correctly? How many of us have practically applied the blessed sunnah lifestyle of the Prophet ﷺ in our lives? Remember, the more you chase the dunya, the more you chase materialism, the further it gets from you. Allahu Akbar. Many people want to compete, as they say, keeping up with the Joneses. If the neighbor has this kind of a car, or more than one car, we need to get something like that. I don't want to be seen as backward in society. I want to be up there amongst the people who are famous or who are respected in society. And therefore, I don't worry how I achieve that, how I attain those goals. You see, there's nothing wrong at all in having short-term, medium-term, long-term goals. But remember, not all of that is going to work out exactly how you have plotted it, how you have planned it. So you have your plans, you have your goals, but keep in mind, at the end of the day, what is due to you, only that will come to you. And what is not due to you, even if it is close by to you, you will never attain that. In fact, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one, out of His mercy, out of His the blessings that He grants us, He gives to whom He wills, whatever He wishes. And who can question Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal? So this concept of having these high hopes that in many a times cannot be attained. Because what is the definition of high hopes? That we waste our precious moments of this life by having those high hopes. And we have these high hopes for things that are very difficult to achieve. So we should be very careful of this, that we don't build those castles in the air, that we don't have too high expectations from people and parents out there, that we don't have too high expectations from our children. If I couldn't achieve my goal or my desire, my wish and my longing to become a professional in a certain field, then it doesn't mean that I have to push and force my child to also pursue that career and that path. Yes, encourage them and try to identify what is their talent. But don't have too low nor too high expectations. It would be an unnecessary pressure on the child, and they could actually end up resenting the parent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding of this, so that we rear our children in an Islamic ethos. Remember, getting a degree in or diploma in whichever profession, there's nothing wrong with this. We need qualified Muslims out there, certainly. But priority is knowledge of deen, knowledge of Islam. Because tomorrow, as parents or grandparents, if you pass away, what happens next? Will the children know how to send Isal al-Thawab to you, so that you receive that benefit in the grave? Or will they just forget about you? How many of us remember our grandparents, our great-grandparents? Many of us don't even know their names. Allahu Akbar. It's like they never existed. Perhaps one day you and I will become like this as well. But if we trained our children, and as the beautiful hadith, the part of it says that nothing benefits a person after he passes away, except 3 things: that a person, he invests in sadaqah jariyah, a recurring reward. For example, you invested in a masjid, and people are performing salah, as long as they are performing salah, you are getting the reward even after you pass away. Or you benefited somebody with some beneficial knowledge which they are practicing, or they're sharing with others who are practicing as well. You will continue to get that reward in your grave. And by leaving behind a pious child that makes dua for you. Now let's sincerely ask ourselves, will my child make dua for me? Will my child send the Isali Thawab to me after I pass away? If we haven't trained them up in that manner, then most probably not. And we will be in regret. So remember, priority is al-Madin, and we shouldn't have these very high or very low expectations from our children. It is mentioned in Mishkatul Masabih that our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had said, أَوَّلُ فَسَادِهَا الْبُخْلُ وَالْأَمَلِ. Allahu Akbar. The first mischief of this ummah is stinginess, miserliness, and having a high hope. Yes, hope we must have, but not too high hopes. Not too low hopes as well. As the glorious Quran mentions, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. And never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. This is one hope that we must have, a high hope in this regard, that we have that hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, and we don't become hopeless or helpless that, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal will not forgive me, so the person will continue sinning. But we should have that hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, and return, keep returning and turning back to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal by making sincere repentance in the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a beautiful Quranic verse, Surah Al-Hijr, and verse 3. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Leave them to eat and enjoy, and let the hope that may amuse them now, then they are about to know. Allahu Akbar. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal is clearly showing us here regarding this high hope. And Sadr al-Afadil, Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Naeem al-Din Muradabadi rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, he explains this beautiful verse, and he says that there is a warning here actually, that it is not the glory of an honest person to have high hopes and become intoxicated with the pleasures, the attractions of this world. Sayyiduna Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, the fourth khalifa of Islam, the fourth successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has said, high hopes makes one forget the hereafter, and following the desires prevents one from the truth. If only we can realize and understand this, that we should, as Muslims, as believers, as ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's best for you and I to live similar to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's lifestyle. I'm not talking just about the sunnah, but I'm talking about a practical and simple lifestyle. But if we can implement the perfect lifestyle of the sunnah into our lives, truly we will gain that happiness that is evading many people. And this is the other problem with high hopes, those longings and desires and wishes. It steals your happiness. It steals your sukoon, your contentment of heart and your peace of mind. Because a person is always plotting and planning, how do I achieve this? How do I get that? How do I attain this? How many people out there, they had the short, medium, long-term goals. They were planning and they were progressing towards fulfilling and achieving these goals. And all of a sudden, the person is no more. The person is lying 6 feet in the grave. And one day that will be you and I. As we are pursuing our studies or our careers or moving up the ladder at work, all of a sudden it's going to happen. Rather, we be sensible, we be wise and intelligent. And whilst we are living in this world, we live for the hereafter. Because that's our purpose. Our purpose is to worship Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Our purpose is nothing but to prepare in this world for the hereafter. That hereafter starts in the grave. We will be all alone. I know many people out there don't want to hear about death, about the grave. It's going to happen sooner than we know. And it's going to happen all of a sudden. And then we'll find ourselves all alone. But if we have this constant reminder that my dear brother, my dear sister, prepare. And if we don't, who will be the losers at the end of the day? May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us this understanding and the enthusiasm to start preparing from now, right now. Don't wait for tomorrow. We don't know if tomorrow is going to come. We don't know that if you're going to go home safely. Accidents are taking place everywhere. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us and our families. It is mentioned by the beloved Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that six things, they waste a person's actions, or a person's deeds. To find fault with the creation of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, hardness of the heart, love of the world, a lack of modesty, having high hopes and excessive injustice. Furthermore, it is mentioned in Shu'abul Iman that wise is that person who weakens the desires of the nafs and performs deeds for the afterlife. And powerless is the one who follows the desires of his nafs and has high hopes from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And oh Allah Azza wa Jal, grant me this and grant me that and grant me this. But we don't focus on safety in the grave. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, grant me a good death. Grant me a death with my iman intact. Grant me safety and protection in the grave. Grant me safety and security in the hereafter. Take my accountability with ease, or admit me into Jannatul Firdaus in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Admit me without hisab and kitab, without accountability. Does our mind go towards this? If not, then now is the time. Whilst we are living, whilst we are breathing, we have ability, we have energy, we have strength. Do good deeds now to please Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal and to please the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The great Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi has mentioned in Minhaj al-Abideen that high hopes are actually an obstacle in the path of righteousness, in the path of obedience. And furthermore, high hopes become the cause of different kinds of mischief and harms as well. Now, there are certain things associated with having hopes that are almost impossible to achieve or attain. Certain difficulties. We'll cover them very quickly due to time. One is, because of these high hopes, a person becomes heedless. A person becomes lazy and does not become constructive as a practical and sincere Muslim. A person may feel that, I'm still young. I need to enjoy my life. You only live once, so let me enjoy my life. As I get older, I'll start changing. I'll repent sincerely. I will establish my salah. I will try to practice the sunnah. I'm still in school. Let me finish school. When I'm in college or university, I'm studying. I'll do some changes there. College and university arrives. No change. Shaitan keeps this person trapped in the deception that I still have time. And this person says, okay, when I get a good job, I'm stable, I'm standing on my own two feet, I will change. That hope is there, that longing is there. It's a deception actually. That person settles down, he gets a good job, he's financially independent, still no change. When I get married, okay, I'm going to change. The person gets married, still no change. Okay, when I have kids, my first kid, I'm going to make changes in my life in accordance with Islamic guidelines. The first child comes, grows up, the next child comes, no change. When I get older, I will start practicing sunnah. I will leave all these bad habits of mine. There's no guarantee My dear Islamic brother and sister, there is no guarantee that we are going to live for another minute. There is no guarantee. We need to ask ourselves that the time is now. The time for change is right now. We need to change our mindsets. If we change the mindset, you change everything. The whole game changes. That what is my focus? My focus is being ambitious, climbing up the ladder, attaining wealth, living comfortably in luxury. There's no harm in earning a lot of money, as long as it's halal. It's permitted according to the Islamic sacred law. There's no harm in living a comfortable life. There's no harm in driving a lovely vehicle or having a nice phone or tablet. There's no harm in that. But don't get attached to this world. This world is not, and materialism we're talking about, it's not loyal. It will never be loyal to you. It will leave you one day. And whatever you accumulated in your bank or at home for the family, it will be distributed. It will not belong to you anymore. But the good deeds that you do in this world, that will accompany you into the grave. And that will assist you, inshallah, azza wa jal. Other harms of having these high hopes is a person, he falls into many evil deeds because of being overpowered by the nafs, by the ego, by the nafsul ammara that pushes one, influences one towards fulfilling evil deeds, evil actions as well. Another is a person, it becomes difficult for a person to perform good deeds when we have these all these high hopes. A person with delay in repentance. I still have time. I'll do it. Remember, procrastination is the thief of time. If we are delaying for tomorrow, tomorrow comes and then, okay, on my reminder, I'll do it. The day arrives. Okay, I'll shift the date to another date. Maybe next week. Next week arrives to another date. So this is not a good thing. It's not a good habit. We should do things, as they say, if you have work today, do it now. And for tomorrow's work, do it today. So we plan in advance, inshallah, azza wa jal. Another harm of having these long hopes is a person's heart hardens. This is not a physical hardness, this is a spiritual hardness, where you give nasiha and advice to this person, but it bounces off, because the person is trapped in all these desires and wishes and longings that whatever you tell them doesn't make sense. They don't want to listen to it because they have a goal and they want to achieve that goal. If it's in the benefit, if it's all within the boundaries of the Islamic sacred law, the Sharia, and it's to please Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then go ahead. If it can benefit you, your family and fellow Muslims, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, that is excellent. And worst of all, with these longings, shaitan keeps us trapped in that circle of longings and high hopes and desires and wishes, that we become heedless of our own passing away, our own death. We become heedless of this. My dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, you know, there are many ways that we can remove this problem, this deed of destruction of long hopes. And that is to try to, as much as you can, be in the company of pious Muslims, of Muslims who are practical on the Sunnah, who establish their Salah, attend the weekly Sunnah-inspired Ijtima'at of Dawat-i-Islami, try to establish a home dars by reading out for at least 5 minutes in the home from Faizan-i-Sunnah, or more than 100 different booklets on diverse titles, by Amir Ahl-Sunnat, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, who is the founder of Dawud Islami, and from other departments of Dawud Islami. All of this you can get from Maktabatul Madina, the bookshop of Dawud Islami. So be in good company. Increase your recitation of the broadest Quran. Amir Ahl-Sunnat, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, advises us to recite a minimum of 3 verses of the Holy Quran, with the translation from Kanzul Iman and the tafsir, the explanation from Nurul Irfan or Khaza'inul Irfan or even Siratul Jinan. And like this, if we are practical on the Madani in Amat program, then if we are filling and acting upon that on a daily basis, you will see and you can monitor your own progress towards reformation. So get involved with the Madani activities of Dawud Islami. They are aimed and they are designed to assist us in helping us to reform ourselves and helping others to reform themselves as well. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
But the day that it arrives will be too late. But the day that it arrives will be too late to do what we can do. We can.